with that, I think that's it. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the freedoms we have in this country and those that have gave all, Lord. We shouldn't take it lightly. Father, there's so much that goes on in this noisy world around us. Help us to clear our minds out this morning so we could hear what Jeff, or what you would have through Jeff, Lord. Jeff doesn't want to talk about him. He wants to talk about you, Lord. That's why you use him the way you do. So, Lord, I just lift this time up to you that we would just clear out our hearts and minds and just help us to see what you have for us and how much you have for us, Lord. And I just pray that your will be done here this morning, that hearts will be changed, that we hear something new today that we haven't heard about you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, hello, hello. You know, preachers, they have these lecterns or pulpits, right? This is mine. This is what I hide behind. I'm just kidding. No, it's super great to see you guys again. I mean, did anyone have a weird year in 2020? I thought it was kind of weird. But yeah, I haven't been here. I guess it's been like a year and a half or longer. Weird, huh? I used to come here like four times a year, so that was strange for me. But it's nice to be with you. And you know what I'm going to do today is we're gonna focus on worship, which is kind of my life. That's what I do, and should be yours too. And we'll figure out how to do that together. But I just wanted to start out by saying I had a crazy week this week. So my wife and my kids, we went to Atlanta, and my grandmother passed away a week ago this past Thursday. And so we went to bury her, send her off, and it was a really beautiful, amazing service. And then we went up to Nashville. My wife is like a real rock star. So she's like a record exec type person, and she has all these meetings back to back. And I got to write some songs and stuff, which is cool, you know. But, you know, she's like the power. So I just, you know, I watched kids, and she did her thing, and it was kind of fun to watch. So we did all that and came back to Georgia, stayed a couple days, and then our flight got canceled. And so we didn't know if I was going to make it here. And I think you probably, Tamara, were a little concerned. She said, I got to teach, and I don't know how to do that. So I was like, yeah. So anyway, the Lord worked it out really well. I was able to get here yesterday and in time to like rehearse with these guys and stuff, which they're great, aren't they? What do you think about like, what about Vic right there on the drums, right? Still playing traditional grip. You know, you don't see that very often. You know, that's pretty cool. Anyway, I love these guys. I'm playing with these guys forever, so it's fun. So anyway, got here and am so exhausted. But I love you, and we're going to do this thing, okay? But I wanted to let you know, before I was supposed to go to Orange County to grab some stuff. So I usually bring CDs with me to get to you guys, but I don't have that this time. But what I have is I've got like a sign-up sheet back there with an email list. I'm just trying to get business done early, okay, so we can focus. So go there and sign your name and email, and I will send you music. I'll just send you download codes. But I want you to know that it's completely free, all right? I do, you know, we take donations, our ministry, and you can donate if you feel led to do that. But I go to East LA and places like that, super impoverished places where people can't afford. And I would watch these people walk by my table and not grab any music. And it was so frustrating. And then I just felt like the Lord wanted me to start just giving music away. So that was my 2020 thing. And so you guys don't feel obligated to give. If you want to, you can sow into the ministry. It helps us get down the road. But if you don't have it, put your name on there, okay? And I'll give you music. Cool? Right on. So we're going to be talking about worship today. And first, I just want to start out by saying what creeps the Pharisees are. Okay? So in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 through 9, well, that's what I'm going to focus on. But in this context of this, the Pharisees are giving Jesus a hard time because they always love to do that. Like Jesus is doing something wrong every second and they can find him blame for it, and eventually they're going to kill him, right? So Jesus, you know, is talking with these people in the temple, and then he realizes that the disciples are looking at, or the Pharisees are looking at him and saying, "Why are your disciples not washing their hands before they eat? what is the deal? I have a theory about that because these men are fishermen and workers. And I don't know about you, if you're a cowboy, basically, and you're out in the field and you got a sandwich in your knapsack or whatever, you're going to pull that out and eat it, whether you wash your hands or not. It's just these dudes, right? I think that's who they were. So they're like, whatever, man. And Jesus, by the way, super huge rock star. He's total counterculture, making his own way. What I have to tell you is that Jesus doesn't play by the rules. He makes the rules, right? So he's turned it all around. Yeah. And you can clap all you want for Jesus. He's giving me. But he's made these new rules in this kind of new way, this new covenant, this new thing. Because that's what he does. He makes all things new. As a matter of fact, 2020, I released a record called All Things New, just because that's who he is. And so, but his response to the Pharisees is what I love. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but in their hearts, they are far from me. In vain, they worship me. Right? In vanity. So it's basically like lip service. So what these guys all cared about, it was so important to them to look great. The posture of the heart, though, right? That's what we're going to focus on a little bit. Who we're supposed to be inside, not on the outside. Because how many of us are guilty of feeling like you don't want to really worship the Lord or don't want to like do anything today, but yet with your mouth you can spend a good game, right? I'm doing fine. I heard the other day I was watching some kind of documentary. They said that the person on average lies 10 times a day. Huh? The reason being is, have you ever had I have it right now, neck pain or back pain? And if someone asks you, hey, how are you? How are you doing? And you go, I'm great. Everything's great, right? Yeah, but you know, some little baby things we're doing all day long. That's just who we are. So these guys are like really servicing people with their lips. They're the proud people, the ones that stand, get the best seat in the church. They want people to know them. They say the longest prayers, these fancy prayers and blah, 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 right? And we do that today too. So we've got these celebrity type people that we revere, right? We watch them in the media. We watch, like, there's a show called Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You ever heard of that? Right? You want to know what's going on with Kim and Chloe and Courtney and Kylie, Kendall, Chris, right? How do I know that? My wife and I sometimes watch it for the unintentional humor. Yes, we do. I have to admit. But here's the thing. That's it, man. We don't even know who these people are, right? We don't know who they are on the inside, but we watch it and we put them on this pedestal. We do it with Christians. We see all these preachers that come out, right? Or these people, like Calvary Chapel does it a lot. I've seen dudes walk around with like two bodyguards going, what? Who's this dude, right? But it's real. It's like, I can't talk to you right now. Let's just go straight to our dressing room. That's who these guys, you know, because they're like, mwah. It's just, we're all people. We're all human beings, completely flawed and only in desperate need of a savior. And so what Jesus is saying is, these guys just honor me with their lips, but they don't honor me with their soul, with their heart. So, let's talk about how you do that. I think the perfect example of that is John the Baptist. So in John 3:30, what John says about Jesus is he says that you must increase and I must decrease, right? That doesn't mean like let's beat ourselves up and flog ourselves and those kind of things. It just means let's lift Jesus higher than ourselves. Let's make sure that Jesus is known before we're known, right? And you can do that with your friends too. Like, I want you to have a good day, man, right? I want you to be lifted up, so how can I support you doing that, right? It's just a posture of the heart. It's to become less so that Jesus can become greater. And I think it's, to me, the response that Jesus gives to John the Baptist is what's astounding. He says that there's no man who's ever been born of a woman who is greater than John the Baptist, but he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And that's like mind-blowing for our human nature. Like, no, I don't want that. I'm hungry. Give me food. I'm me. That's kind of our nature. But what we got to do is get inside our souls, inside the depths of us, and realize that Jesus is what matters. At the end of your life, my wife always tells me this, at the end of your life, it's not anybody else. It's not wife. It's not husband. It's not kids. It's not grandkids. It's you and it's Jesus. It's all that matters. You and Jesus. And once we start grasping that kind of thing, I think it makes it a little easier for us to be able to engage and worship the Lord, you know, with our lives. Now, there's two types of worship that I want to talk about. In John 4, chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, it says, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Right? "For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." He says it twice, so it's probably important, don't you think? Spirit and in truth. What does the spirit mean? You are spirit forever. Not just this body that we try to keep going. You are spirit forever. God is spirit. And we are connected in spirit to the Lord. I lost my grandmother. And God gives us cool things, especially at the end sometimes, you know. The Lord will do some really cool things. So I remember I was on the phone with her, and because of like all the distance between, I'm in California and she's all the way in Georgia. That distance plus COVID, you can't really, it's really hard to get to the ones you love. And so I just had FaceTime. And my mom called me on FaceTime, and I said, "Mom, put the phone up to her. I want to talk to her." And I did this several times, but this is the last time. The last time I did it, every time I talked to her, I would sing. I would sing to her. "I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord." You know, those type of things, just so she'd hear it. Because my grandmother was a big fan of the hymns. She had an old honky-tonk piano, and she'd sit there and she'd bang out all these songs, and then she'd bust into some Jerry Lee Lewis tune, you know. But it was always inspiring for me as a kid. So I've actually made a hymns record to tribute basically to her. I did it a handful of years back, but I know why right now. It was for her. And so I just sing the hymns to her, and then I just got done, and I said, "Grandmother," I said, "just open your eyes one more time. Let me see you just one more time," because she was what they would call, she was just gone. She wasn't coherent. She couldn't make any movements, and she went like this at me. And She was in there. She was in there. You know why? Because your spirit. Your spirit, you know, your mind can take information, right? Your brain, take that information in. Your spirit takes in information. Your spirit doesn't age. It stays the same. It stays vibrant and alive. And so my grandmother's spirit is in there because we're connected by spirit. I can say things like that and she can hear me. And she knows it. And so when I'm singing to her, her spirit is taking it in. And that's the beauty of worshiping in spirit. You are connected to Jesus in spirit. Isn't that cool? And then there's the other component, the truth. Like true worship, I guess you could call it truth worship, is knowing who Jesus is. Knowing who he is groundbreaking. It will change everything for you. If you can understand the attributes of God that you and I are desperate for. So let me tell you, some people don't know who Jesus is. Some people assume who Jesus is, or the media tries to tell you who Jesus is. I'm going to tell you who Jesus is. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger, and he's rich in love. That's the truth of who Jesus is. You start understanding these attributes like compassion. What does that word mean? Compassion means to suffer with. That means that Jesus, where you are in your pain, whatever you're going through in your life, takes your hand and walks with you all the way through it. He never lets you go. He's right beside you. Isn't that beautiful? He's just going to suffer with you. It's like what Corrie Ten Boom said, no matter how deep the pit, because we definitely get peaks and we definitely get valleys. No matter how deep the pit, God is deeper still. Like he's below your pain. And he has the power to pick you up out of the mire. He can do it. So those are the truths that you want to hold on to about who he is. I want to tell you some stories about my weird 2020. This is all glory to the Lord. So I had my book. I was booked like pretty far into 2020. I was really excited. I was like, this is going to be a low maintenance year. It's going to be stress-free. Check it out. And so we get to March, right? And the pandemic was official. And I had 6 dates cancel in one day. And I was like, I have to feed children. This isn't cool, right? And so I was kind of panicking. I do that kind of thing. If you ever meet my wife, you can ask her how I am for real. She'll tell you. But I go, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I think she's watching me. Hey, baby. I'm just kind of, oh, what am I going to do? Freaking out because I freak out. And she's like, you know what we should try to do? We should try to pray. We should try to seek God. We should wait on God and see what he does. And she's right. Like she is, I'm going to give her 99.5% of the time. I got a couple in there, a couple little zingers every once in a while. But, you know, the truth is we went all of April, and we were trying to figure out how to ride the wave. So people started calling me, hey, could you come record a service for us, you know, here and there? Or we're going to do a live broadcast, one live broadcast. So it cut everything down pretty hard, pretty quick. So I was scared. And so we got through April, and then April 1st hit, and I went to go to my bank account and look, see what I had, just because I got to pay bills, we got to make it happen. And there was a big amount of money in my bank account. And I was like, what? And it was like enough to cover those 6 dates, right? And what happened was the 700 Club picked up one of my songs and started spinning it as their bumper all over the world. And I just all of a sudden started getting royalties coming in. Never in my life. I don't have management or like record label or anything like that. It's just little old me. And it was like a shock. I mean, you can attest to that, right, babe? It's crazy. And so what happened is that your faith starts to go, whoop. You can see a miracle of God. You start, oh my goodness, this is real. This is real. So another challenge I want to give you, and this is another thing my girl does. She gets a prayer journal, and she writes down prayers, and she's very specific how she prays. So I'm going to challenge you to pray specifically in your life, all right? So the rest of the year is okay. We're figuring out how to ride the wave, you know, getting through it. And then I think it was about August. We get an email from our landlord, and it says, you have 60 days to vacate your house. I was like, what? Right? If you've ever been to California, it's crazy. There's like way too many people, and there's like, it's way too expensive, and everybody wants something all at one time, right? So I put 27 applications into different places, houses to rent, and 27 times I got rejected. So we're both, again, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Again, Jeff, calm down. Just pray. Ask the Lord. We were specific about what we wanted in a house. We were specific about everything. And I'll tell you. So I'll tell you first. We wanted to have a big backyard. That's what we asked for. California yards are dinky. You can't really move. You're like elbow to elbow, right? And so we wanted that. We wanted a ranch style house with a little more square feet if we could for people to breathe. And we wanted to have we want it to be, and I don't freak out because this is California, but we want it to be under $3,000 a month, right? So we were like, okay, under $3,000, you know, we can sort of make it work. Let's try. And so prayed. And I talked to this one realtor, and this realtor lady said, yeah, I've got this great place. We had to be out by October 31st. This lady said, I've got this great place for you. Oh, you're just going to love it. And good news, you can move in December 23rd. So I was like, oh my goodness. And I said, it's just too late for us. You know, we've got like a week left before we have to be out of our house. And she said, now, I don't normally do this, But I read your application, and I saw that you guys are Christians, and that your life is, you know, worship and serving God. And she said, I'm moving out of my house in a week. And she said, the guy that has our house says he's looking for somebody, but is pretty sold on somebody. But I'd like to just give you his number, see what happens. So I called him, and he said, you know, why don't you come by the house, look through, but we're pretty interested in this one family. I said, okay, let me just come see it. And I came to see it. And then he got deeper and started reading my application, and he said, you know, he called me, and we're freaking out. He called me and said, you know, my wife, we go to Saddleback Church with Rick Warren, and my wife said that she really feels like we should give you the house. I was like, okay, this house has the biggest yard I've seen in California. It's a ranch style. It's bigger than our other house, and it's $2,995 a month. Right?
So
tell me that God isn't good, right? So we freaking panic, and we get all this, when really we got to stop, slow down, realize who Jesus is, and it causes us to want to worship him with our entire life. Because you know that worship is not just confined to singing. Worship is everything. If you sit at a desk and you count things like you're an accountant, you can do that like it's done unto the Lord. If you're a farmer, you can do that like it's done unto the Lord. If you're like work at a farmer's market and you're trying to figure out how to get your tamales out, I don't know. You can do that as if it's done to the Lord. You know, you don't have to just sing and you don't have to preach to serve God. We serve God with our entire existence because he's worthy of that kind of thing. You know, that's a beautiful thing. So once I started realizing these types of attributes of God, it came easier for me to be able to trust him. So John chapter 1, verse 1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is who? Jesus. It says then, later in 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That is Jesus. Jesus is the embodiment of the Word of God. So in the beginning, Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light. Right? Jesus was in a boat with his disciples, and there was a massive storm going on, and he was taking a nap. And his disciples, like me, Jesus, what are we going to do? We're going to die. You got to get up. You got to help us. Ah! Jesus goes, chill. Dudes. Gets up, goes to the deck, says, shh, to the weather. And it listened to him. Do you understand? That's the power. And you know where it lives? It lives inside of you. That same power is inside of you. Why are we afraid? Why do we fear? What is the worst thing that can happen? You die? Bummer. We're going to be with the Lord because at the end, it's just who? You and Jesus. That's what it's about. So ultimately, what it helps you to understand is Jesus is worthy. He's worthy. His, you know, worship, that word came from worth-ship. He's worthy. He is worthy of your praise. He is worthy of your hands doing things. He is worthy of everything you do. He is worthy that after this, I'm going to drive to Tucson and catch a flight. He's worthy. You know why? You're worth it. And Jesus is worth it. So I'll come here exhausted for all I care. Because you're worth it to me. That people see Jesus. They know who he is. Now, there's two ways that we can worship the Lord. I'll read you this scripture first. I love this little baby. Look how cute. I kind of have that fever. Anyway. You hear that, girl? She would not be sad. Okay, so two ways. So in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 through 16. Through him, then, let us continually offer up sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. right? So our lips. We talked about lip service earlier. You actually can honor God with your mouth through things like praise and through confession, through prayer, through exhortation or encouragement or whatever it is. We can honor God with our lips. He goes on to say, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Again, sacrifices twice. Important. To be people who sacrifice, to be generous with what you have, to be generous with your love, with your affection, with whatever. Be generous. Don't forget, don't abandon that, that these sacrifices are very simple, but they go a long way. You honor God with your mouth. You honor God with your lips, right? From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's sometimes a really scary thing. Really. And the second one says, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing, which is your spiritual act of worship." So we serve with what? Our bodies. So in the announcements, they're talking about there's a need for children's ministry, or there's a need for sound. Just serve the Lord, man. Let's go. Let's serve God. That's worshiping Jesus with our life. Serve the Lord. Serve God. It was so cool. We went to Stone Mountain, you know, so when we were playing taps and stuff, it's all real fresh because we were like straight up war, the whole deal. We were stoked. My wife and I were stoked. We love all that Civil War, old South stuff. So we went to the Stone Mountain and we went up the gondola. My dad and I and my wife, we walked up the mountain, but my kids went up. So we had to buy tickets for this thing, right? And so, you know, they didn't look at my tickets. So I had these tickets, these three tickets, right? And I'm like, I'm going to give it to somebody. And I went to someone and I said, "Here you go." It was this lady with her two sons. She was like, "What? Really?" I was like, "Yes, I want you to go. Have fun. Have fun with your kids." And I turned around and walked away. I have no idea what that does to the person for the rest of my life. But how cool is that to serve God? It's like an act of worship for me to be able to do that kind of thing. And that's what you can do for each other. I watched people come to my mom's house and just cook food and do all these things. And they're not getting anything out of it. Well, maybe a meal. But they're not getting nothing out of it, you know. And they're like setting up things and helping them and loving them. And it was really powerful. So I want us to be people that do that with our bodies. So those are important things. In Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, it says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock." That's what we want to do. We want to offer up our worship to the Lord. That's our sacrifice, because we don't have much, guys. Jesus gave every single thing. He gave his entire life for us so that we could have freedom. Now, we're talking about that this weekend with people dying for our country, right? That's powerful. Jesus died for your sin. He died for your eternity. He died because he loved you first. He knew exactly who you're going to be, exactly everything that you're going to do. You know, I met with my grandmother in January. Before she died, which I think was it was the Lord prompting me to go out there, because 2 weeks later she fell and she was in the hospital. So I went out there and sat with her, and we were talking at the table, at her kitchen table. And I said, "Grandmother, what are you most excited about heaven?" And she said, I guess see Granddaddy. I guess that'll be great. She said, but I'm here. I'm still here. And what I think that God wanted, you know, from her, and what she said God wanted from her, was I need to be a witness. I need to share Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, my grandmother, she was a witness to me. She was a witness to me. My grandmother, when I went through the hardest time of my life, you know, like I said, peaks and valleys, I went through a very, very dark and hard time. And I watched people just walk away from me
People I love, people that I hold dear, they left me. But my grandmother never did. I called her, and without an ounce of judgment in her whole body, she told me that she loved me, and she wouldn't leave me. My grandmother was my friend. She was my real friend. She was my real friend. So, I say that because we have a tangible picture. I do, at least. I have a deep, tangible picture of how Jesus loves us. How he won't leave you, and he won't forsake you. He won't turn his back on you. No matter how wretched we are as people, he will never leave your side. He loves you so intensely. He died for people who murder, you know? Oh, that's sweet. Thank you. That is nice. See there? Service. Right there. That's you are acting it out. I love it, and I love you for that. That's cool. Yeah, that tangible feeling of this is who Jesus is, and this is how he loves, that he's never going to leave your side. So we all have these problems inside where we kind of, you feel abandoned sometimes. You feel all the way alone. I know there's people in this room that probably feel that right now. But I can tell you with all my heart, I know from experience that the Lord will never leave your side. No matter what happens to you, he will never leave you. And another thing that's great about the Lord, like I've been in church a long time. There's a lot of judgmental, mean human beings in the church who make you want to go, "Yeah, I'm good. I'll go somewhere else and do something else," right? He doesn't do that. Like he takes it, he opens his arms for you, and he doesn't expect you to come perfect. Why would there be a cross if you needed to be perfect? He expects you to come just like you are, and he'll take you just like you are, and he will clean you up. He gets to do that. His name is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is the healer. He is the one who fixes. He doesn't expect you to come like that. He expects you to come broken. He expects you to come humble to him. Oh, I'm in desperate need of a savior, and you're the only one that can do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is how easy it is. It's like beyond easy. The hard part is actually living it out. But the easy part is to say, Jesus, as a matter of fact, let's just bow our heads and pray it. Whoever wants to, if you've never given your life to the Lord and you want to give your life to Jesus today, this is how you do it. And you can just say this after me, okay? Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I have fallen from grace. I believe that you are the Son of God who came to take away the sin of the world. I believe that you died and then you rose again by the power of your Spirit, by the power of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you took my sin and you threw it as far as the east is from the west. I believe in you and I surrender my life to you. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen. See, that wasn't so hard. I think the hardship is trying to live it out because we all just make really, really dumb choices. I mean, we're sheep. Sheep are stupid. They literally will walk up to a cliff and jump off without a shepherd. That's us. But that shepherd is the good shepherd. And he catches us before we fall. I want to sing you a song. So when I was telling you about praying for that house, the Lord kept waking me up at like 4:30 in the morning. And I was like, what do you want? Right? What's to wake up there? But I guess it's probably because it was quiet. My kids were asleep, you know. But he took me, I would go down to the kitchen table and I would just open my Bible or do something. I'd be praying like earnestly, God, help us, help us, help us. And then he started giving me like lyrics. He started giving me this melody and this song. And so I wrote this song in a crazy time. And it means a lot to me. And it means even more to me now that, you know, I just went through what I went through with my grandmother. So I want to play it for you. It's not out on any recording yet, and you're going to want it. But no, it's a good one. This might be one of my favorite songs I've ever written. I just think it's totally from the Lord. And I hope it ministers to you, you know. It's called, His Name is Jesus. There's a love that's infinitely deep. It's deeper than the valleys, higher than the peaks. And the same love is reaching out to me. His name is Jesus. And the time will come where there will be no fear, no more hurt, no more suffering, no more tears. And we will find Him sitting on His throne. His name is Jesus. There's a voice that whispers in the dark, and it calms the raging sea, breaks up the hardest heart. And the same voice is calling out to me. His name is Jesus. And everything is under His command, and the whole world is found inside His hand. He is coming back to take me home. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He made every part of me, now and forever free indeed. And in His mercy I will stand. His grace enough for me. Oh, He made every part of me, now and forever free indeed. And in His mercy I will stand. His grace enough for me. His grace enough for me. And a time will come where there will be no fear, no more hurt, no more suffering, no more tears. And we will find Him sitting on His throne. His name is Jesus. Where everything is under His command, and the whole world is found inside His hand. He is coming back to take me home. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You guys want to stand? Let's sing some songs here. We'll put our money where our mouth is, all right? It's been a real joy to be with you today. Kind of does my soul some good, you know? It's almost like, I don't know, just the Holy Spirit's in.
know, he's really cool. He really does inhabit every bit of our life and change every bit of us if we'll let him. So I'd like to stay in that kind of mind frame if we can, you know. It's the posture of our hearts to be less and let the Lord change.